Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity to come and hear from your word. We know it's a privilege and an honor, and we recognize that. Thank you for preserving your words so that we can hear you speak, God. Lord, I pray now that the Holy Spirit would begin to move and illuminate the words that he inspired to write so that we might hear you today and be changed. May we walk out the doors, through the doors today, closer to you than when we came in. May you draw us, Lord, closer to your grace and your mercy. And may we follow you and live for you this week. Help me, Lord, to be a plain preacher, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the room this morning, there is strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. All right, so we are in a series called Step Into Life, and last week we talked about step into his life, step into eternal life, step into the resurrection life that Jesus gives us eternal life, because we want to step into life both now and forever. Do you all realize we can have life now, and we can have it forever? How many of y'all are thankful of that? Not only do you have life now, but you can have it forever. And so today I want to talk about stepping into your destiny, stepping into destiny. Because in this Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount here, we have a destiny that is laid out for us of where we're going. And we're going to look at that in just a moment. Because he says, blessed and blessed and blessed. And in verse 3, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then in verse 10, he says the same thing. Blessed are you who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Now, what Matthew does a lot and throughout the gospel of his gospel, he sandwiches things and puts things together that way. Now, those of you who are with us from the very beginning of the year, we went through the Gospel of John. And as we were going through the Gospel of John, we were emphasizing one thing. And the one thing that we were emphasizing through those weeks was the deity of Christ. That John wrote the Gospel of John for a purpose. Well, one, the Holy Spirit inspired him to write these words, but the Holy Spirit inspired him to write the words so that in John chapter 20, he said, the goal of this book, the reason why this gospel is written, is so that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that by believing in him, you might have life. That was the purpose. That Jesus is God. We worship him. He is the one who brings life and everlasting life. It is him that we serve and worship. As we begin these next several weeks, as we go down and walk into the life, we're going to look at the life of Jesus in Matthew's gospel. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it tells us that Jesus was going throughout all Galilee. He was teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. If we turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, we read, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And so what Matthew has done is he's sandwiched in between those two verses. It's kind of like the bookmarks. And in verse chapters 5, 6, and 7, we see this being lived out, that Jesus goes out and he preaches and he teaches about the kingdom. In chapter 7 and 8, or it's 8, 7, 8, 9, around there, he begins to lay out the miracles of Jesus. And the thing about the gospel is the Greek word gospel means good news. How many of y'all like to hear good news? I like to hear good news. Good news. It's good news. So when Jesus came, he said, I'm preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. There is a kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, when he starts speaking and preaching and teaching, he talks about the kingdom of heaven. That there is a reality, that there is a kingdom of heaven that you can already enter into. But there's also the kingdom of heaven that's not yet fully realized. Look at verse 3 again in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see that? It is the kingdom of heaven. Then when you look at the other verses following, it says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then the next one is, they shall inherit the earth. They shall receive mercy. They shall. You see those as the next six of those blessings. And then again in verse 10, and he sandwiches it again. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Okay, now the reason why I point this out to you is this. What theologians like to call this, it's called a now not yet tension of the kingdom. There is a reality that we enter in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven now. We've been seated in the heavenly places, Ephesians says. We reign with him. We rule with him. We are saved, but yet not fully realized it until we are in the kingdom of God that is going to be literal, where he rules and reigns. You see that? You see, we've received God's grace, but it won't be fully realized until we're with him in the kingdom. Right? We receive the peace of God now, but we experience the fullness of peace when we are with him. Does that make sense? So we are now in the kingdom, but yet not yet fully realized because there is a kingdom that's coming. That's some good news. Why? Because I can already get in this kingdom now. What's good about that is because all the kingdoms of this world crumble and fall. Right? The kingdom of America will fall. Don't know when, but it will. The kingdom of Russia will fall. The kingdom of China will fall. All kingdoms of the world will not last. There's only one kingdom that will last forever and ever and ever, and that is the kingdom of God. And I've got good news for you. We're going to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. You can step into the kingdom today. Some of you are already in the kingdom. You're in a kingdom that will never fail. Aren't you glad of that? If you have a choice to be in a kingdom that's going to crumble and fall, or the kingdom that's going to last forever with a great king, which one do you want to join? Which one do you want to be a part of? I want the kingdom that's going to last forever, right? Well, Jesus is the king that has a kingdom that lasts forever and ever and ever. Many of you are already in it. We haven't fully realized it yet. Some of you are on the outside listening. And he wants you to come and join his kingdom. He goes up on the mountain, it says. He goes up on the mountain and he begins to speak. And he speaks, he calls his disciples. Now he's speaking to his disciples, but there's still a group of people there that's listening. And we know that because later on as we read, there's other people that also hear what he's saying. And so he's speaking to his disciples, but there's a crowd listening, so it's still open to everyone. So the messages here in these next several weeks are going to be messages that should bless and encourage the believer, but it's also for everyone else here too. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you've not surrendered your life to him. You've not experienced salvation. And we're going to talk about how great it is to be involved in this kingdom. And maybe you hear the blessings of the kingdom that you say, I want to be a part of that kingdom. I want to be involved in that kingdom. And so this morning, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and he starts speaking to your heart, guess what? He invites you to participate into his kingdom. Isn't that good news? Now he begins and he says, blessed. Now let's just stop and pause and talk about this word blessed for just a moment. because we kind of messed this word up. A lot of modern day translations try to make that fit into our vernacular, and they'll use the word happy. You know, happy. Well, the word blessed does have a definition where happiness is a part of it, but it doesn't capture the full meaning of what Jesus is saying here. Because when we use the word happy, we think of warm, fuzzy feelings, right? Oh, this makes me happy. You know, we even got those emojis. I'm happy. And what I've noticed through Michelle's Facebook, because I don't have one, is that you can be happy, and then you can be sad. And you can be frustrated. And you can be whatever else they do, all in the same day. Why? Because happiness is based on an old Anglo-Saxon word, hap, which means chance, as in whatever happens or happenstance. Happiness is circumstantial, therefore it is uncertain, temporary, and insecure. The blessedness of the Christian is not temporary or uncertain, but it is unshakable. When Jesus says blessed, he's not saying happy, smiley face. It's much deeper than that. Much deeper than that. If you go through the Old Testament and you just do a word search on blessed, you see all kinds of times in the Bible where God blesses people. I'll just go through some of those. In the very beginning, in Genesis 1:22, when he created Adam and Eve, it says God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply. Feel the chapter 2, verse 3, he blessed the seventh day. Chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons. 12:3, Abraham, when God called Abraham. And he said, I'm going to make you a great name and a great nation. And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. When Abraham had a battle, and he met a king that was a type of foreshadowing of Christ named Melchizedek. There was a moment of worship that happened, and he says he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies in your hand. And then Abraham gave him a tenth of all. He honored him with his tithes. We have a scene when Moses, he's on the mountain, and he has blessings and cursings that he pronounces. And he begins at the Mount Gerizim. He begins to explain that if you will obey the Lord your God, here's what's going to happen. He says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall your offspring be, and blessed shall your baskets and your kneading bowl be, and blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And he lays out some blessings. He also lays out some cursings, and Jesus, the high prophet, the greater prophet, remember, Moses prophesied about Jesus and said, there's going to be a greater prophet than I, and Jesus made that clear, and he comes up to the mountain now, and he begins pronouncing blessings. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit at the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree that is firmly planted by rivers of water, and it will yield its fruit in season. And its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. This is blessing. In a benediction in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24, want you to hear this benediction of blessing over the people of God. It says this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Now, hear those words. The Lord bless you and keep you. How does God bless his children? He keeps us. He keeps us. If you are a child of God this morning, blessed are you. Why? Because he keeps you. It says, may his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he look on you with his favor. May he look upon you with pleasing eyes. May he be gracious unto you. If you're a child of God, he looks upon you and he lavishes his grace upon you today. May he lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. That's God having his favor upon you, his blessing over you. Isn't that comforting? Where can you get that kind of comfort and peace? Where can you get that glorious countenance that has his blessing that overshadows his children? This is the blessing we're talking about. This, isn't that so much richer than happy? Huh? Isn't the blessedness of God greater than just an emotion? Oh, it provides real, true hope, peace. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Okay? What does that mean? It means that you must realize the total dependency that you have upon God. That you must realize that you are spiritually bankrupt. That there is absolutely nothing that you can bring to God and say, here, God, this is what I've done for you. I hope that it's pleasing in your sight so that I might earn your favor. There is absolutely nothing that we can bring to God to earn our salvation or to earn his favor. We must come to God with an empty hand, poor in spirit, and say, Lord Jesus, I have nothing. I can add nothing. I need your grace. For those who realize their great need for Christ can receive his grace. One of the problems that we have in our culture today is that we got to get people lost before they can get saved. Right? You understand that? You understand what I mean? I mean, until you admit you're lost, you'll never get found. Right? I mean, you can drive around for hours and you can make the statement, I'm not lost. I know exactly where I'm going. And your wife can say, we're lost. And you can deny it as long as you want to. But if you don't know where you're going and you're lost, you're lost. But until you admit, you know what, I think we're lost, and stop and ask for directions, you'll never get straightened out, right? Until you admit that you absolutely have nothing to bring to God, absolutely cannot earn your salvation in any way, until you realize that the only hope I have is to receive the favor of God by his grace, you'll never be saved. Because one of the problems in our culture is we don't think we sin. I've never seen it. It's a whole new thing. I know it's probably because we gave everybody a participation trophy when they were little, when they really didn't deserve it, and everybody thinks they're a winner. And we tell them, oh, you can do anything and be anything. And we lie to our kids. And we've got parents who think, oh, my kid's an angel and they're perfect and they never do anything wrong. It's the teacher's fault. I wish you all could have experienced school back when I went to school. I wish that you all would see the paddle. Man, they used to have a paddle. Y'all remember that? They used to have a paddle. That would be the first introduction. The teacher would introduce who they are, and then they'd introduce you to their paddle. And then you had the principal. And the principals were feared back in the day. Used to, you didn't see your principal. You're like, hey, ha-ha, you know, and kind of giving them fist bump and acting like, you know, you're big BFFs with your principal. Back in the day, when you saw your principal walk in, you're like, I wasn't doing nothing. We had a gym teacher, Mr. Hall, in high school. He would light up the high school boys. So, you know, some of you teenagers are like, yeah, I'd like to see them paddle. He could paddle so hard that he had to sit down and have to paddle backhanded. Because if he actually got into it, he would have hurt somebody. And so he'd light up a senior just like that. We don't think we sin anymore. We're delusional. We think, no, and maybe it's because we just have completely taken all values out of society, and we're living in the days of judges where we've called right wrong and wrong right, that we don't know what's going on anymore. But anyway, we've got to admit that we've sinned. That you've lied. How many's ever lied? Anybody? I mean, they ask Hillary if she's ever lied. She's like, they go, Lord, that's an easy one. You're a politician, surely. I mean, that's a no-brainer right there. Right? I mean, they've all lied. Republican, independent, they don't matter. They've all lied. Have you ever harbored hate in your heart? Have you ever envied? Well, sure. I'm not a perfect pastor. Man, I've got skeletons in my closet. Everybody's got skeletons in their closet, amen. If you opened them up, there they'd be. Jesus told a story about two debtors, two people that were in debt. One had a lot, one had just a little. And the guy that they owed the debt to came and forgave them both. And Jesus said, which one of these two are more thankful, you think? And the guy said, well, probably the one that was forgiven more. Because here's what we do. For some, man, your life has been so hard and you've lived it so crazy and so wild that when you finally got saved, I mean, you have just been so radically changed that now you're just so thankful for God. And I mean, you just can't believe it. And there's some of you who are grateful that you're saved, but you didn't really think you needed that much help. You know, you're like, well, now I know I needed God's grace to forgive me, but I really wasn't that bad. But now that person over there, boy, did they need the grace of God. Right? And when we do that, we rob ourselves of the blessedness of His mighty grace. Because what we fail to understand is that our righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. And it wasn't like, well, I just needed a little saving and they needed a whole lot of saving. It was like, man, I needed a whole lot of saving because I was a sinner. I didn't love Jesus, and I needed to humble myself at the cross, and I needed to repent of my sin, and I needed to receive Jesus as Lord, and I needed his grace so much because I had absolutely nothing to bring him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When you come to God with a broken heart and an empty hand, he fills you with his kingdom. Isn't that good news? Some of you experienced that, and you're in his kingdom. Some of you aren't. Here's another good news of the blessing of God. You ready? Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Paul says, just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Look at verse 7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Look at verse 8. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Aren't you glad of that? Huh? How many of y'all glad of that? You know those skeletons in that closet? Aren't you glad that as a believer now you go back and they're gone? Why? Because he doesn't hold them against us anymore. He forgives us from all of our sin. I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm glad that on Judgment Day, when I stand up before God, all of my sins isn't on this big marker board or this big teleboard or whatever for you all to see. How embarrassing that would be, right? But that when I stand before God, I stand before him as a blessed child that has had his favor over me, that has forgiven me of my sin and removed them to where they no longer exist. I've been set free. This morning, some of you need to receive that grace. You have never surrendered your life to him. You're still kind of holding on. You're still kind of thinking that you're not that bad of a person. And you're like, well, you know, those people really need Jesus. But, I think I'm not that bad. You'll miss it. You'll miss it. You'll miss the kingdom. You'll miss it. And those of us who have experienced his grace and we're in his kingdom, may we not ever forget how desperate we were and in need of the blessing of his favor and grace on our lives. Amen. May we give him praise. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that today we get to hear from you. Lord, that you pronounced blessings over your children. Lord, you said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Lord, there's many of us in the house this morning that we experienced your grace. We realized that there was nothing good in us of ourselves, that we were lost, that we had sinned, and we ran to you as our Savior. And you forgave us. Thank you for that. Child of God, at this time, would you just tell Jesus how much you love him? Would you just take a moment right now to pray and thank him? If you're listening and you're not a believer, you've not experienced the new life in Christ, today he speaks to you and says, come join the kingdom. I've got a kingdom that is out of this world. And I will give you life, both now and forever. Step into destiny today. Step into eternity. Step into the kingdom of God. Father, may we be obedient to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's pray. Let's respond. Whatever God's speaking in your heart to do this morning, would you do that?